Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
Auto pen gate. Will Biden's pardon stand up to legal challenge? And by the way, did he sign anything? Did God delegitimize Biden's presidency? Rogue judges acting like they are the law. One liberal judge after another is somehow mysteriously getting these cases trying to take over the presidency. For many years, the court usurped the legislature, and now they're usurping the executive. Jesus said the truth will make you free. An assault on truth is an assault on liberty. One of the most important books I've read outside the Bible was The Closing of the American Mind by Alan Bloom, 1987. I read the book soon after it was released, How American Education Betrayed America. Hey, what accounts for human behavior? Is it color or is it ideology? Is it ideology or is it religion? Is it religion or is it, well, how we answer the questions, what is man and who is God? And what shapes our answers, nurture or nature? Will Britain's Christians rise and take England back to Cromwell? Saturday, May 24, today for many of you. In Britain, citizens are rising up to call for the removal of Starmer and to end the Labour Party's hold on Parliament. Okay, we'll end on some good news. RFK is getting the job done as Secretary of Health and Human Services. Wait till you hear Trump's press secretary announce what RFK has done. My friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Auto pen gate. Will Biden's pardon stand up to a legal challenge? It appears God, I don't know, scrambled his brains and delegitimized his entire presidency. Ed Martin is the man Trump tapped for examining the legality of Biden's pardons, dubbed the U.S. pardon attorney. This investigation will expose a network of lies and subterfuge that brings into question the legality of his entire presidency. I mean, beyond the fact that the election was stolen. Ed Martin is the guy corrupt GOP Representative Tillis voted against, barring him from becoming D.C. Attorney General, although the same fellow voted to confirm Merrick Garland. Yeah. Anyway, the D.C. Attorney General is the office that would decide which corrupt representatives and senators for, I don't know, stuff like taking bribes from foreign governments, right? Like the Democrat U.S. Senator Robert Menendez, who was recently indicted for taking bribes amounting to hundreds of thousands of dollars to help some New Jersey businessmen and the country of Egypt. That sort of thing, you know? Anyway, this is the Ed Martin tasked with cleaning up the Pardongate scandal. He reported that a whistleblower has stepped forward from deep inside the Democrat Party, a senior, you know, he said. And they came forward with information identifying the three people closest to Biden who controlled access to the president and said that they were making money off of it. Okay, so you scoundrels succeeded at keeping Martin from being in a position to press charges as a D.C. Attorney General. So he'll do the investigations instead and recommend that charges be pressed against you by Judge Perot. We'll see, but it looks like you've just been had big time. The Kentucky Republican representative and House Oversight Committee chairman is James Comer, and he has been giving these corrupt Democrats and gopers nightmares. Quote, last week, his office identified staffers and others in the White House who he believes used the auto pen machine to not just sign pardons, but executive orders as well. End quote. Isn't there a presence requirement for proxy signers? Yeah. Yeah, look at this. According to this legal review, it would be unconstitutional for someone or something, like an auto pen, to sign for, well, anyone, but let's say the president, without having him present. Now, we know Obama had the Patriot Act signed by an auto pen, an extension of that act, while he was abroad. A deep dive into this question revealed that this started way back with Eisenhower, but then it was limited to use for signing Christmas cards, that sort of thing. Obama's the first that I could find who used it to sign a bill of legislature while he was abroad. Quote, 2011, President Obama authorized the auto pen to sign an extension of the Patriot Act while he was abroad, with the decision documented through White House communications, end quote. There was a legal look at the use of the auto pen in 2005 because a question was raised about it. The Office of Legal Counsel examined it and determined it was constitutional so long as the signature reflects the president's intent. And from my research, quote, this means the president must be aware of and agree to the document being signed, end quote. Furthermore, as if sensitive to the seriousness of this, it continues, quote, this authorization could be recorded informally, by example, a memo or an email, or through verbal confirmation to trusted aides. Does any such documentation exist for Biden's use of the auto pen? However, there are no standardized forms or processes stipulated by law. Now, since Obama documented his authorization, there is at least a precedent for taking such use of the auto pen seriously and providing some documentation of the president's approval for use of the auto pen. And reason would dictate, in the case of pardons, executive orders, or legislative bills, such documentation would be considered appropriate. The magnitude of potential abuse is such that something must be put in place to govern this going forward. But looking back at Biden's use, the questions to be asked are, first, what documentation is available to establish that Biden did in fact authorize the signing of this or that and another legal document? What we do know is that during the speaker's own testimony, Biden was unaware that he had signed at least one executive order that we know about. We repeatedly hear about Biden's non culpus mentis as a defense against him being held accountable for his crimes. Doesn't that also mean he was unfit to be president during the period he was considered unfit to run for re-election because he could not function? These people covered up what everyone amenable to reason and conscience could see right before their eyes. That man had checked out. Whoopi's fake outrage that the media deceived her is insulting to our intelligence. Okay, hold on to the break, my friends. Your brain pursuer will be right back. Cellular tea supports your immune system while removing toxins safely. Endorsed by pre-Obama FDA toxologist Dr. Dana Flavin, with degrees in pharmacology and chemistry, founder of the Foundation for Collaborative Medicine and Research, and teaches the pharmacology of anti-cancer nutrient. Becky has a distributorship for this cellular tea here on the Central Coast, and you can order it locally. Email santamariacellulartea@gmail.com. A bag providing 96 servings is $39. That's a full 3-month supply at only $13 per month. Let Becky know you're interested. She'll answer your questions, help you get your first bag. Email santamariacellulartea@gmail.com or call your lights on hotline. Let me know you would like to talk to Becky. Dial 1-805-314-2114. That number, 1-805-314-2114. 2114.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, my friends. Welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry, art singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Rogue judges acting like they are the law are in direct defiance of we the people. The next time you hear a Democrat say no one is above the law, hear this: no one's above them. One liberal judge after another is somehow mysteriously getting these cases assigned to them, trying to take over the presidency. For many years, the court usurped the legislature, and now they're usurping the executive. And this was planned. Schumer admitted it. They placed these judges with this in view. The executive, placed in power by the will of the people, is acting within its constitutionally delegated powers with specific powers given to the president regarding immigration. The courts have no standing to encroach on the executive branch, short of an appeal to constitutionally protected rights of American citizens under the jurisdictional umbrella of our Constitution. Furthermore, the students pressing these lawsuits against the government, alleging some abuse of their rights, have no standing. There is no constitutional guarantee of a foreign student's right to get an education in America, nor do they have any inalienable natural right to study in America. That's nonsense. The Declaration does not support their claim. Their presence here is hospitality extended as a privilege, and the executive is empowered to represent we the people by extending that hospitality or by revoking it. We voted for Trump to be president, not these district judges. Here is yet another judge, Myung Jun, Korean-born, faithful Biden appointee, one of those Schumer bragged about that had been put in place specifically to block Trump. Well, the will of the people is who they're blocking. We want this DEI nonsense stopped. Myung Jun failed to reveal his conflict of interest that arises from his family involvement in the DEI program and the queer agenda in public schools. His son identifies as a girl. This fellow works for his mother, presumably June's wife, whose company is Diversity at Work. That's the name of the company. This judge, not surprisingly, blocked Trump's efforts to do the will of we the people and eliminate the Department of Education. And you can go here for receipts in my notes. The conservative politician elected to office can't just go around eliminating liberal institutions that are not prescribed by the Constitution, but created by liberal politicians, not voted on by the people, you know, but a democratically elected president dare not do the bidding of the people and eliminate the social. You see, they do not govern at the consent of the governed. The Democrats are the most undemocratic animals on the planet. These district judges are in direct defiance of the will of the people. Once again, Democrat operatives are stealing the power from the people, and this must stop. Jesus said, "The truth shall make you free." An assault on truth is an assault on liberty. One of the most important books I've read outside the Bible was The Closing of the American Mind by Alan Bloom, written in 1987. I read the book soon after it was released. I have a first print, first edition copy. He wanted a different title. He wanted to call it Souls Without Longing. I'll offer a very condensed summary of this great book, asking a question only implicitly answered in it. If our institutions of higher education have failed us, if they have in fact become the enemies of the soul, of truth itself, and therefore the enemies of liberty, what hope is there? He said in his conclusion, quote, "It is difficult to imagine that there is either the wherewithal or the energy within the university to constitute or reconstitute the idea of an educated human being." You can look at this interview between Michael Knowles, Daily Wire, and Max Eden, expert in education, a scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, presented by PragerU. It's actually very, very good, and I would encourage you to look at it if I get the link right here. Bloom struggles to find any hope in this situation, you know, the one he faced in 1987, which interestingly is light years removed from the abyss into which Harvard et al. Have taken the souls of the last three or four generations, and then feeding these soulless ghouls into every American institution, an abyss, the walls of which enclose them, providing nothing to break their fall. A morass of emptiness, where the only meaning, the only sense of living is found in sensuality, where common sense is lost in mindless, even pointless political passions. Knowles described how far removed Bloom's assessment would be from today's condition if he saw it now. He said Mick Jagger is Beethoven compared to Cardi B, and then Max Eden described it this way, rock and roll is Bach compared with TikTok, adding TikTok is owned by the CCP, avowed enemies of America, and used to barbarize our souls to make evil things catchy and fun, and thereby to transmit vice into virtue. What would Bloom say today? I hear him groaning in Nietzsche's despair, interpreted by him, it would be this way more, good is dead, or dying. But clinging to hope, he concluded that although all form of real learning is lost in the universities, he said vanished, and that, quote, one cannot and should not hope for a general reform, end quote, of our institutions of learning. Nevertheless, humanity continues, and one might, quote, hope that the embers do not die out, end quote. Now, my own summary of Bloom's indictment against Harvard and her sisters is this. The so-called Enlightenment extinguished the light by postulating the mantra of the Enlightenment, which was, dare to know, that knowing begins with doubt, requiring denial of old certainties, the denial of faith. This, like every entrenched lie, has enough truth in it to give it shelf life. Now, truth is the only thing, by the way, that can give life to a lie. Every lie depends, ironically, entirely upon truth to survive. Satan's ruse in the garden was not an outright lie. Worse, it was a deviation of truth. Eve spoke truth to Satan. She said, God has said that in the day we eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we will surely die. And then Satan lied. Thou shalt not surely die. And he impugned God's character, saying, the only reason God has withheld this from you is, he knows that if you eat of that fruit, your eyes will be opened, enlightened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. His premise was false, though the statement was true. The day they partook, God himself acknowledged, quote, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil, end quote. You see, it's a very old lie that you deny truth to get to truth. All right? Think. It was God's intention that man should be like him. That was the original proposition. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. He put the tree right there within their reach. Love gave to man a choice to love him or to embrace lust. He gave them a command. If they loved him and obeyed, he would have invited them to partake as an act of love. But they did not show the character that his son showed, who would not think it robbery to be equal with God, Philippians 2:5, but instead he would give it up and become like man to redeem man from his fall, to be made as man, and finally, to be made sin for us. And because he never sinned, death had no claim on him, and he arose from the dead that he might provide salvation from Satan's lie, and finally, raise us up in the resurrection, fully in his likeness, completing the original proposition. Now, I've got all the scriptures right here for you to read if you get my notes. Bloom could not see this. He knew it was a lie, but he did not have the cure. The truth that makes us free is in the Word, who was with God and was God and then became flesh. The promise of enlightenment, premised on rejecting the truth, was a lie. It is not true that the mind, to be free to find truth, must begin with a rejection of truth and must be pursued with no prejudices or biases. Now listen, the danger of emptying one's mind before one thinks about a subject is that one is in that case left with nothing to think with. You know, begin with zero presuppositions or prejudices, which, first off, it's impossible. For even this axiom is itself a prejudice, a presupposition. Hence, you are beginning with a lie. On the other hand, thinking that rejects truth wherever it's encountered, you know, that has a bias against truth, that is a different kind of prejudice. The idea that to find truth, we must begin by rejecting God and following our own lusts. Resisting truth, my friend, is antithetical to the discovery of it. It's virtually always motivated by a love for the lie. These love darkness more than light because their deeds are evil. That's how Jesus explained it. Read John 3:17-21. Jesus explains why people don't believe, why they reject truth. It's because they love the lie. Why do they love the lie? Their deeds are evil. The danger of emptying one's mind before one thinks about a subject is, one, it's impossible. That's not true. All Eve did was replace one truth statement she once believed with a lie. Now, that's all she really did. Hence, Bloom argued that our minds were closed by subtle deviations of truth. That's the problem. But there is a turning away from this lie among our youth. We're witnessing the beginnings, I think, of the opening of the American mind. I need to begin my wrap for the show. What accounts for human behavior? Is it the color of one's skin, or is it the ideology embraced by the individual? I want you to listen to this preacher, but I need to preface it with some statements here. I remember being deeply impressed by the rhetorical brilliance of Martin Luther King and moved by his message. And I've spoken of that often. I was inspired by the story of George Washington Carver. He was one of my favorites. In junior high, I think, is when we learned about him. I've been inspired by the powerful intellect of Thomas Sowell and deeply impressed with the intellectual integrity and clarity of Justice Clarence Thomas. Now, these are only a few examples that I could give. Nevertheless, I agree with this preacher in his assessment when he says black people have a problem. So give this a listen.
Black people got a problem. You can train them. You can train a black man to be a physician. You can train them to be an astrophysicist. You can train them to be a lawyer, but you can't train him to understand the world. He doesn't know. Black people had Africa, that big old continent over there. They never built one boat that was seaworthy. Not one. There's not one monument in Africa, in all of Africa. I know you're talking about Egypt. Egypt is not Africa.
There's Arabic people up there.
Yeah.
When you think of Africa, you think sub-Sahara.
Even before the first colonization of white people, black men built nothing. No sewer system. No houses above one level. And none of them made out of stone. All of them made out of grass and wood. And forget about Zimbabwe and South Africa, Nigeria. Look at what y'all have done in Harlem. You can't even hold on to Harlem. There's something wrong with the black man's mind. There's something wrong with his mind. He does not understand the world. And black women, what's wrong with y'all? Your men treat you like the dogs, like your dogs. They walk all over you. They make you pay the bills at home. You're crazy.
Now, I had to edit this for the sake of time. You understand that. I've got a link to the full statement here in my notes. But you see, my point is really, it isn't black people have a problem. No, we've got some stunning, stellar examples that contradict that. This man is himself a contradiction to that. No, it's about the question we were raising earlier. Do you believe the truth or do you reject it? So will Britain's Christians rise and take England back to Cromwell? Saturday, May 24, in Britain, citizens are rising up to call for the removal of Starmer and to end the Labour Party's hold on Parliament. Starmer is pushing the Brits to their knees to Baphomet, really. I mean, socialist fascism. I mean, Islam. All the same thing. Finally, they are going to mass in the streets in what is being called the Great British Strike. They can't call it a protest. Well, because it's illegal to protest the Islamization of Britain. You can't do that. They use security as an excuse to allow Islamofascists to mass in the streets protesting against the government's failure to force everyone in London to change their diet to suit the Muslim overlords. But Christians can't protest because, well, that would be dangerous. What makes it dangerous? Because the Muslims act in violence and they might kill somebody or explode some buildings. You know, like Soros-funded BLM Antifa did here in Seattle and Portland. Brits are being called to come into their city centers bearing flags, crosses, banners, demanding the removal of Starmer and the Labour Party. Let's see how that goes. Okay. Again, I want to end on some good news. RFK is getting the job done as Secretary of Health and Human Services. Caroline Leavitt announced,
Medicaid will no longer be used to pay for barbaric gender mutilation procedures on minor children.
And the 1.4 million illegal aliens who are currently improperly receiving Medicaid benefits will be kicked off the program to preserve it for hardworking American citizens who need it.
All right, my friends, as I conclude, be encouraged. The embers of truth still glow, though faintly. Brightly in the hearts of full believers, but faintly in the human spirit. I've lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Call 1-805-314-2114. Again, that number is 1-805-314-2114. Or contact me through our email. Go to brainmassage.net. Brainmassage.net. And use the contact form there and send me an email. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
God's people face a critical battle for America. We the people will take this nation back from the unreasonable and wicked men and women who have dragged this once great land to the maw of hell. Or we will fall into the power of those who hate Christ, Christians, and the Bible. If that happens, everyone loses. Because freedom loses. Liberty loses. The choice is clear. One side wants to remove America out from under God. The other side wants to reaffirm America as one nation under God. They want to encourage men to think they're girls and force our girls to compete with men in athletics. They are unreasonable and wicked. Go to GodsWar2020.com.
Cellular tea supports your immune system while removing toxins safely. Endorsed by pre-Obama FDA toxologist Dr. Dana Flavin, with degrees in pharmacology and chemistry, founder of the Foundation for Collaborative Medicine and Research, and teaches the pharmacology of anti-cancer nutrient. Becky has a distributorship for this cellular tea here on the Central Coast, and you can order it locally. Email santamariacellulartea@gmail.com. A bag providing 96 servings is $39. That's a full 3-month supply at only $13 per month. Let Becky know you're interested. She'll answer your questions, help you get your first bag. Email santamariacellulartea@gmail.com or call your Lights On hotline. Let me know you would like to talk to Becky. Dial 1-805-314-2114. That number, 1-805-314-2114.
God's people face a critical battle for America in 2020. This nation back from the unreasonable and wicked men and women who have dragged this once great land to the maw of hell. Or we will fall into the power of those who hate Christ, Christians, and the Bible. If that happens, everyone loses. Because freedom loses. Liberty loses. The choice is clear. One side wants to remove America out from under God. The other side wants to reaffirm America as one nation under God. Go to GodsWar2020.com. Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.